Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will look at a new chapter, which is chapter number 3 of our study book, which is titled Commentaries on the Quran. And our chapter today is called, Is There a Miracle in the Quran? Now we have to understand that Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, did not perform any miracle. He did not heal a withered hand. He did not heal a lamed leg. But he did the opposite. He actually cut the hands and the legs from opposite sides of those who did not believe in him, whom he called those who wage war against Allah and his messenger Muhammad, simply because they did not believe or accept him as a prophet. Muhammad did not open any blind eyes, but he did the opposite. He poked many eyes out. Muhammad did not raise any dead. But the opposite is true. Muhammad killed the living, especially those who did not submit to him or to Islam. So in simple words, Muhammad did not perform any miracles in any shape or form. But Muslims believe that he is a great prophet, a wonderful messenger. Why? Because he brought to the world the biggest miracle, the miracle of all miracles, which is the Quran itself. And as long as Muslims do not understand or do not know the true picture of the Quran, they will never leave Islam, because after all, Muhammad performed the greatest miracle of all, the Quran itself. In this chapter, the author, or the authors, as I shared with you before, we do not know who exactly is the author of this book, stated the following. Here we will present to you the evidence that there is no miracle in the Quran, as it is claimed by many of the Muslim writers. And he gave us actually 9 proofs that there are no miracles in the Quran. The first proof, he said, that the miracle must be clear to anyone who uses it to prove his point, that there will not be any doubt whatsoever. But when we study the writings of Muslim scholars, we always realize that there are disagreements among them about that miracle. Some believe it is a miracle, and others believe that it is not a miracle at all. And that is enough evidence that this is not a miracle, for a miracle must be agreeable by all scholars without any doubt. The second proof the author wrote is that what you have mentioned of aspects is not suitable for miracle as for strange system, because it is an easy matter, especially after hearing him. It does not lead to miracles, because simply what Muhammad wrote in the pages of the Quran was a guess. It's like me saying to you, it will rain near you in the near future. Also, the writing of Musaylimah, who is a false prophet, was also written in the same style of the writing of the Quran. So he says, the elephant. What is the elephant? And what do you think? What is the elephant? When we look at a paragraph like that and compare it to the speeches of the most excellent of the speakers and the most excellent of the poets, and if we look to the time and the system which is used to write such speeches or poetry, and we compare it to the short chapters of the Quran, which Muslims claim and use for the challenge, that no one can bring any small chapter like that which is written in the pages of the Quran. We will not find that there is any differences between such speech of speakers, or any of the writings of the poets, or even in the case of false prophets who wrote poetry similar to that which is in the Quran. The writer of the book continued to say, I did not find any differences between them. He's talking about the poetry of the Quran and the poetry of the books which were written by people outside the Quran. And then he stated, but perhaps the most correct opposition was the one who is compared to it, meaning the verses of the Quran are less quality than that which is written outside of the Quran. The miracle by which the plaintiff's truthfulness is inferred must be the emergence of discrepancies between him and what he is compared to a degree that precludes any doubt in order for him to be absolutely certain of his truthfulness. And here I must add a very important fact which I have shared with you in the past. We know many poets who wrote the best of the poetry of their days. As a matter of fact, some of their poetry are the best even until today. Famous names like Voltaire, who is a French poet. And everybody who studies his writings know for certain that he was an excellent poet. But neither Voltaire nor his peers ever claim that Voltaire is another prophet. How about Shakespeare? We all study the writings and the poetry of Shakespeare, which is the best, I believe, the English poets have produced. But once again, not one person who liked Shakespeare, British or not, nor Shakespeare himself ever claimed to be a prophet. And that ends the idea that the Quran is a miracle simply because it is beautiful poetry. And once again, if we compare the writing of such poets, Voltaire or Shakespeare, to the writing of Muhammad in the Quran, we'll discover that their writings and their poetry is much greater than that which is written or found in the pages of the Quran. Well, let's move to the third proof. The author or the authors are talking about that there is no miracle in the Quran is that the companions of Muhammad disagree about some portions of the Quran. For example, Ibn Mas'ud said that Al-Fatiha and Al-Ma'wazatayn, that is the first chapter and the last two chapters of the Quran, are not of the Quran, even though they are the most famous three chapters in the Quran. And if there was a miracle in the writing, which as Muslims claim nobody can write like it, therefore, why Muslims disagree about if these chapters are of the Quran or not? If these three chapters are miracles, for sure all Muslims will agree that they are very important portions of the Quran. Let's move on to the fourth proof. When the Muslims were gathering the Quran together to make it in a form of a book, if one of them came with a portion of the Quran, a verse or more, and he was not famous among them to be a just person, Muslims who were collecting the Quran together did not put his verses in the Quran. Once again, if the Quran was miraculous in its writing, in its scholarly writing, for sure they would have found and know that these verses did not come from any place but from Allah, the source of the miracle of the Quran. And it will be very easy for those who put the Quran together to figure out that these portions of the Quran, which these people came with, are part of the Quran.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at Vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
The fifth proof that the Quran did not have any miracles, the author continued to say that every industry has levels of perfection, one above the other, and it has no limit to which it stands. It does not exceed it. And in every generation, there must be a superior who has supersedes its sons by reaching his level of this rank that no one else has reached in his era. In my own simple words, I will share with you and say, if we watch the Olympics, how the competitors compete against each other in every new Olympic competition, and there's always new records with improved records than the previous ones. And that's how we come up to the new record, sometime within a tenth of a second in every competition or sport. So maybe the Muslims can say the poetry of the Quran was the best which Muhammad can offer in his time. But guess what? Years after Muhammad, as we see recently, many people will write and make better poetry than Muhammad. But we cannot say that since Muhammad's poetry was the best of his time, that means it is the miracle of the Quran, when in reality, it was not a miracle. Not then, nor now. Simply because when we compare it with new poetry throughout the centuries, we will discover that the poetry of the Quran is not that miraculous at all. So if we assume that a swimmer, for example, who competes in the 2020 Olympics, did a great job, and we can say he's the best of his day. And then a little bit later, in the next competition, somebody else breaks his record. Then we have to say that the new competitor is more miraculous than the first one. And by that, we lose now the high record which existed in the Olympics of 2020 when the new Olympic competitor does a better job. And that itself will end the idea that the poetry of the Quran was a miracle. Once again, because now we have better poetry, not only in the quality of the poetry, but the message of the poetry. And the more we examine the Quran, the more we see the errors and the contradictions in such writings, which people claimed for years that it is a miraculous work. This is by assuming that the Quran is eloquent. And the truth is that the Quran is not eloquent. Its speech is brief. The rhyme of the Quran and the speech and the meaning of the words of the Quran are vague. And many of its words are brutal. And all of this is contrary to eloquence. Another important fact about the Quran is that if the scholars compared the Quran according to established rules, they would have found that there is no eloquence in the Quran at all. The Quran is void of any eloquence, but they made the rules dependent on the Quran so that they would not expose the Quran's mistakes and reveal the hidden errors of the Quran. As someone said, the Quran was polished by the Arabic tongue's readings. And if it was not for the Arab and the special way of their reading of the Quran, it would have been covered with rust. Meaning, if you read the Quran by itself, without the sounds or style of reading which Muslims put into it as they read it, you will not see that there is any miracle in the Quran, but because of the tone the attitude, the way and the style of reading the Quran. That makes the Quran a polished book. It's like if you are watching a movie and if you cut out the sound effects from the movie, then you will not enjoy the movie. Imagine with me, not only take the music out, but turn the light on, make it a bright room. Then the fearful moment of the movie will disappear because you figure out that is just simply a drama. I hope this example clarifies for you what the author is trying to cover in this proof. Let's move on to the sixth proof. As the author or authors stated that in the Quran, there are many lies. When Allah said in Quran chapter 6 and verse 38, "And there is no creature on earth or bird that flies with its wings, but nations like you. We did not neglect anything in the book. Then to their Lord they will be gathered." First of all, if you study the interpretation of that verse by Muslim scholars, you will not help but to laugh. Why? It's because Allah is telling the Muslim believers that all the birds, all the creatures, that is, from the biggest dinosaur to the small tiny ants, or even the creatures which you cannot see by your naked eyes like chiggers, every creeping thing on the face of the earth are just like humans. Each of them has their own prophets, their own messengers. Some of them are Muslim believers. Some of them are Jews. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are this and some of them are that. And Allah Almighty will judge among all these creatures in the day of judgment. Those who believe will make it to paradise, and those who did not believe will make it to hell. I'm talking about all creatures, all birds, everything that has life. Imagine with me how much truth is in that verse. Obviously, there is no truth whatsoever. And it is amazing. The more you read of Muslim scholars' interpretation to verses such as this one, you can't help but to laugh. Where is that miracle of the Quran? But the most important part is that Allah clearly declared in that verse that nothing is missing from the Quran. Allah did not neglect any subject of any matter from the Quran. Now, is that true? Or is this simply a big lie of Allah in the pages of the Quran? And we can easily prove this to be a lie simply by examining the many subjects and the many matters which Allah forgot to mention anything about it at all in the pages of the Quran. And there is no doubt the Quran is missing many important signs and facts concerning nature, concerning sports, concerning medicine, and things in which we live every day, even concerning the stories of the prophets. Then we must come to the conclusion that the claim of the Quran about itself is not reality of its writings. As for the seventh proof that there is no miracle in the Quran, the author stated there are differences in the Quran as to whether it is correct or not, as there is melody in it, such as "Inna hazani la sahiran." And when the Quran was introduced to Osman ibn Affan, who is the third successor after Muhammad, he stated that the Quran has melody and the Arabs will continue its melody with their tongues. As for the eight proofs that there is no miracle in the Quran, the author stated that in the Quran there are repetitions of useless words, as in Quran chapter 55, the Merciful, as Allah also repeated many of its stories. As for the last proof, that is number 9, the Quran declared that there is no contradictions in it, as we read in Quran chapter 4 and verse 82, "Do ye not consider the Quran? If it was from others than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies." But when we study the Quran, we will discover that there are plenty of inconsistencies in it, which is a great internal evidence that the Quran is not from God as Muslims claim that Allah is God. And here we must ask a question. Because if the Quran is from God, we would not find one inconsistency in it. What is many? 5 inconsistencies? 20? 100? But trust me, my friend, the more you read the Quran, the more you find there are thousands of inconsistencies all over its pages. As we look at many of the repeated stories of the Quran, which most of it is taken from the Bible, or other books were written years before Muhammad claimed to be a prophet. Every time Muhammad repeated these stories, you would discover inconsistencies. And from the doctrine of abrogation, which is written throughout the pages of the Quran, that is, when Allah gave a command and then Allah gave a new command to contradict the first command. And Muslims are taught that the new command abrogates the previous command, as we will be studying this matter in depth a little bit later in our study, as Muslims will tell you that they only follow the new command for the new verses of the Quran, which were written later in Muhammad's life, came to abrogate, meaning to cancel, to erase, or to delete the previous command. And if we count how many of these differences are in the Quran, we would have found that there are 12,000 inconsistencies. As we also hear the readers of the Quran recite its verses. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.